Welcome to the Scary Movie Project, where darkness meets delight. We review the creepiest films, from classics to new fright. We dive into haunted places, the eerie, the unknown. So grab your popcorn and don't watch alone. From the supernatural tales to the shadows that creep, we're your guide through nightmares that'll haunt your sleep. Tune in, if you dare, to the horrors we dissect. You're in for a thrill on the Scary Movie Project.
The podcast you are about to listen to is an account of the movies which befell a group of horror fans. In particular, Tara Garwood and her intrepid friend, Matt Lolich. Had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, although they would have wished, to see as much of the mad and macabre as we are to see in those movies. For them, an idyllic summer movie became a nightmare, and they loved it. The movies that they watched were to lead to the creation of one of the most terrifying podcasts in the annals of American history. The Scary Movie Project.
Hey, horror movie lovers, this is The Scary Movie Project, the podcast where we talk about scary movies. I'm Tara.
And hello, friends. I'm Matt. And, you know, there's more than one way to lose your heart. At least that's the tagline of today's film, My Bloody Valentine!
Yeah! The 1981,
the original. I had to reference that. Yes, this is the OG. We do the OGs around here most of the time. The 1981 Canadian, yeah, isn't it?
Canadian-American
horror film, My Bloody Valentine. So anyway, yeah, that is the tag. I got to say, I do enjoy this movie. I saw it a long time ago, and I watched it again, and I like it. It is good. I'll explain later why, because you'd watch it and think, well, what is great about this? This is the same as any slasher movie, but there are just little small things I think I enjoyed about it. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. All right. I will save my opinion for after we go through it, because I like to do it that way.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's okay.
Draw out the tension, guys.
Right. You gotta wait for it.
Yes. It's suspense. The suspense is killing me.
And this is our wonderful Valentine's Day special for everyone out
this
there.
This is our Valentine's Day special for those of you who love Valentine's Day and those of you who don't really love it.
I've worn my red for the occasion, so we're all set.
And and I believe this comes out on Valentine's Day.
How about that?
I think it might.
And for all you fans that don't enjoy Valentine's Day, like you mentioned, don't forget that February 14th is also Oregon Statehood Day. So you can feel free to celebrate that if you choose to. So
celebrate Oregon Statehood Day.
That's right. It's a big day.
Or hope that it falls on a Saturday so that you can celebrate Friday the 13th the day before.
Sadly, where we miss it by one day this month, actually.
I know. So close.
It's tragic. It really is. But
so close.
Next one is until August, people, so hang in there.
I always have a really good day on Friday the 13th, so
I'm excited. The best. Yeah.
I'm excited for the next one.
August 2021. We'll get there.
God, August 2020. Okay, August. All right.
So we got 6 months, 7 months. We're almost there.
Oh, my God. Maybe we'll be, like, out in the world. No, I can't say it. I might jinx it.
You don't want to go out in the world, because if you do, Jason Voorhees will get you, so.
That's true.
Anyway, perhaps we've drifted to another conversation.
So. It's a whole nother can of worms there. Mm. So this movie, My Bloody Valentine, is directed by George Michalka. Sorry if I butchered that.
Don't know who it is.
Sorry, George.
Yeah, sorry.
And the writers are Stephen A. Miller for the concept and John, I'm going to butcher this one too, Beard.
Okay.
It's B-E-A-I-R-D, so I'm not, Beard?
Beard, I don't know.
Baird? Yeah. I'm not sure. They're Canadian. I don't know how to say their names. I should. I don't know why I don't. But okay. It's a Canadian film.
Yes.
Filmed in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I want to go visit Nova Scotia. Any listeners out there, if you know anything about Nova Scotia, please pass it on, because I really am I'm not fascinated by it, but I really am interested in going to Nova Scotia.
Well, we know it has mines.
Well, actually, yes, so because they did shoot this in a mine, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think it was shot in the Sydney mines.
Okay.
And
like I know it.
And so it was in Nova Scotia. I mean, come on,
obviously
the Sydney mines of Nova Scotia.
If you were to say Sydney mines, I would think Australia, but whatever.
Apparently, there were like several sets of mines there, though, and like they were having economic problems. They were getting ready to shut down, so they were really excited that
having
a movie
economic
was
problems.
Come.
No, that never happens. Yeah.
Yeah, but so this is in the 80s, but so they were really excited that a movie was going to shoot there.
Sure.
And so they decided to spruce the mine up when they picked the mine. Like,
how do you do that?
They heard a movie was interested in it. They like painted and like cleaned things up.
Oh,
and I
okay.
think they spent like $50,000 on it. And then
wow.
the whole reason that they were interested in shooting there, though, was because
it was
like
mine?
Dingy and dirty and like... And like old and like rustic looking. And
right.
so they had to spend $75K of the whole film's budget to get it back to looking more
like a
rustic
mine?
And run down. Yeah.
I mean, I can't stress this enough
pretty.
That it's a mine.
I can't like.
Like, I don't really, there's not much more I can say. It's a mine and it's
yeah, it's
to
a
be
mine,
that
people.
Way.
Like, yeah. they're supposed to be kind of ratchet looking.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we open on. I noticed the first thing we hear before we cut from black, a little dripping water, and then we're in a mine with two miners,
we're
like heading down
mine.
Into the mine. We're in a mine. Straight off the bat, guys, we're in a mine.
Yes.
The miner is like, there's a great shot where the miner's like turning his head, so his light flashes the camera.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And then one of the miners takes off her mask and like hood and like, takes her top off, the top
sure
of the thing off, and hey, it's a woman in her underwear.
It's not something you see in a mine every day.
One of the miners is a woman in her underwear.
Yep.
Look at that. So she like fondles the mask, the guy's mask, and like goes to lift it, and he's like, no. And she like sexily fondles the mask. If you're watching the YouTube, I'm
sexily
if you're not
fondling.
Watching YouTube, I'm doing like and just she's like
you have to watch the video to really get the
yeah,
full
it's
scope
really,
of what she's
it's
doing.
It's really
right now.
Really great stuff there.
It's pretty awesome.
So she fondles his mask and he impales her on a spike.
Sure does.
So
it's pretty awesome.
That's how that goes.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
So that's how that goes. I also learned the mines went as much as 900 feet below the ground.
Is that right?
Yeah, and because methane explosions, like in the movie, the methane explosion happens 20 years ago. Methane explosions actually are a real thing, and it is like a possibility there. So they had to use special lights.
Oh, because
so they wouldn't set off the methane
gas. That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Isn't
that
cool?
You know what? I never thought about that, but I guess that makes perfect sense. Sure.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of trivia on this movie, but the trivia, the little bit that I did get was pretty interesting.
And I would wonder, I'd be worried if I was an actor about being in there, because, I mean, is it safe to be in there, right? I don't know.
I would be scared.
You got to put the canary down there, right? And see if it comes back alive. Isn't that what
yeah, I would be nervous. I'm just saying. I would
especially,
be really nervous.
And I mean, shooting a movie isn't like it's a 4-hour day. You might be down there for like 12 hours, 15 hours.
Oh, God, especially on a low budget horror film.
Sure.
You might be down there for like 12, 16 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like,
okay.
All day. Oh, God. Yeah. So
no one died, I guess it sounds like. So it's okay.
No, I didn't see any trivia about anyone dying. So
that's good. That's
hopefully
a good
not.
Well, they didn't die in real life, at least, yes.
Yeah, dying in real life. There's
there's
a fair bit of dying in the movie.
There's a few deaths.
There's a few deaths, just a few. So the next scene is the miners are getting off shift, and they're, like, giving each other shit while they're showering. And apparently, even though you only see them from waist up, they actually all were, like, just naked. Even though they didn't really need to be because you only saw them from the waist up, but they were.
Sure.
And the secrets, the scenes for that were hard to shoot because the water was like really cold.
Mm.
And then they had fans blowing steam into the scene to make it look steamy.
Okay.
Which made it even colder.
Yeah, you're right.
So they're like in there in this freezing cold water when it's supposed to be like steamy hot.
That didn't
But
work.
Yeah, it was freezing cold.
So when I'm watching that scene, by the way, all I'm thinking is I'm thinking of a ripoff of Deer Hunter. That scene.
Okay.
Right? When they all leave from the from their gig for that day, remember?
Oh, when they get in the cars? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so they all...
I felt like that was a totally just stealing right from that. That's exactly what
I was thinking of, like, the Keystone Cops with all the, like, shenanigans. But, so yeah, they all pile into their cars and they drive away from the mines and back into town.
Right.
And there's some very, like, Dukes of Hazzard-y music.
Yes, there is. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's very... I don't know how else to describe it other than, like, Dukes of Hazzard.
I think that works, yeah.
So there's going to be a Valentine's Day dance, and it's the first one in 20 years, and somebody
because...
left... Because? Well, we'll get there. We'll get yeah. there in a second. Somebody left a box of chocolates for the mayor.
Oh, right.
And it's this ominous note, really a poem, and a human heart, you guys! Yep. Ah, human heart!
Inside the box.
Inside the box of
heart.
Chocolates. It's just a big old... human heart.
It's pretty awesome.
Which I'm guessing is from the woman who gets killed in the very beginning.
Who knows? Sure, good guess. Who knows?
That's my guess. Because I tried to, like, more than one heart will come up in this, you guys. Spoiler alert. There's more than one heart. Yes. And I tried to track, like, whose they were.
Okay. Like, that makes sense.
Because I think about these things. I
really
was like,
that way, but...
oh, okay, that must be her heart. And then there's another one. I'm like, oh, that's his heart. Okay. Like, yeah.
Well,
okay.
You don't want, you know, you make a fresh kill. You don't want to wait. It's like
he
when,
just
you know,
killed this person, so that must be their heart.
Hey, the heart is a prize. You know, people that hunt deer and game like that, the heart's always one of the prize things you want to keep from those things. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm just telling you, that's just facts.
Ooh.
As gross as you may think it is, that's like the prize deal on game for a lot of these. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so at the bar. The old bartender tells the story of the town curse.
I love the story that he tells.
Oh my God, he's fantastic.
It's so campfire-like. It's so great. I love it. Yes.
And his whole character, he's so, like, grumpy.
He has a damn
and
kids.
And just like, yeah, like, oh, idiots. He's just so, I love him.
Head full of rocks.
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. So anyways, he tells the story. On Valentine's Day 20 years ago, 5 miners were buried alive in a methane gas explosion.
That's right.
And when they got to them weeks later, only one was still alive. And so 1 year later, he came back and he killed the mine supervisors who had left the other men below to go to the Valentine's Day party.
And hadn't the one that was left, hadn't he like started like eating people or something like that?
I don't know. I don't think he said that. It just like he was just like all crazy and like. Bleh.
Yeah, he was.
We saw
crazy.
Him and he was like, bleh,
right,
and just
right.
Nuts.
Yes, nuts.
But I don't remember them saying that.
Okay, I thought that's what. Anyway, that's all right.
But maybe, or maybe in the new version.
Maybe
in the 3D.
Disclaimer: have not seen it, nor do I have any desire to see it.
No, yeah, I know. No. I'm good with this one.
Yeah, I'm good.
So now at the bar, TJ, who's like our main character, well, one of our 2 main characters, he's wallowing because his girl, Sarah. Yeah, wallowing.
I like that. No, that's good. I like
he's
that.
Wallowing.
Yeah.
Because
I
his
like
girl,
it.
His girl, Sarah, is dating Axel now. Axel's the other like kind of main guy.
Not Axl Rose.
Not Axl Rose. No.
That's okay.
Not him.
I don't know anyone else named Axel. So that
just
was the
a guy
I could,
named Axel.
Only one I
just
can think of.
A dude named Axel.
Yeah.
So the mayor's got the human heart. He takes it to an ME in the next town over. And that's when they like actually confirm that it's a human heart. Like, I mean, we kind of knew, but like that's when they confirm that, yep, it's a human heart. All right.
That's what it is.
And now a miner is outside the laundromat where Mabel, who organized the dance, the little old lady who organized
Mabel.
The dance.
Of course, her name is Mabel, right?
She's so cute. She's getting things ready. And right. So the miner, by the way, just so you know, like you can't see his face. He's like in a jumpsuit and like it has like a whole like gas mask that goes over your whole head.
Right.
So you can't see any of the miners, like, face or anything.
It's a great cost. It makes it scary, I think. Yeah.
It's really scary.
Yeah, like, it's very cool.
Yeah, it's really creepy. So he's, like, creeping around outside while she's, like, doing her stuff at the laundromat. And she goes into the back and he puts a box of chocolates on the counter and leaves. And she comes back and is like, oh, and she thinks it's the mayor. Like, the mayor thought it was her when he got his, mm-hmm. and she thought it was him when she got hers. It's really right, cute. Right. And so she reads the card. This poem I did get because it's pretty short. Roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
That'll win him over any time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's always a good one.
So then the miner comes in and he kills her with his pickaxe.
Yes, of course.
Note, we don't see a heart in this scene. We only see she reads the card. So because there's only one person dead and we already gave the heart away. Huh? Right, see, I'm tracking the hearts.
Oops, you're on it.
I'm on it, guys.
On it.
I am on it. Okay, so the boys are out late at night. They're fucking around. They're
gallivanting, cavorting.
Yeah, they're cavorting in, like, what seems to be a I don't know if they're in a parking lot, but it seems like they might actually be in, like, a dump or, like, at a junkyard.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that. Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But they're cooking food on a car engine. A couple of them are playing harmonica.
That.
They're just, yeah, God, cooking food in a car engine.
Love it. I've never done it, but
so,
I've cooked food.
Backwoodsy.
I've cooked food on a really hot rock next to a campfire, which is pretty awesome, but.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've not done anything on an.
You can actually, like, it'll really cook on a rock?
We had a huge bonfire going, and it was surrounded by rocks, you know, just like a, you know, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. It was just basically the insert,
like
I guess.
Like the fire pit type of thing?
Yeah, and it just had a bunch of rocks, and just, you know, slate pieces, I guess, that were big, you know. And it was right next to the fire, so it was so hot, we realized we could just drop, like, you know, pieces of food on it and cook it, and it would cook right on the rock. It was pretty interesting. Yeah, it was
so hot you could fry an egg.
That's exactly, you could. You totally
As the saying goes.
I've never done that on an engine, but I bet Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel from The Simpsons, that's how he probably cooks his food. That's my guess.
Possibly.
Oh, I'm sure he
Possibly.
Does. Yes.
So they're as you said, gallivanting out there.
Yes,
they're gallivanting.
Yes, yes.
And TJ and Axel have, like, a little heart-to-heart about Sarah, which then turns into a fight.
Of course.
Because alcohol and boys fight over girls. Like,
yes, this is true.
This is
been there, done that for both.
This
yes.
is apparently what happens.
This is yes.
I have never experienced this myself, but I'll take it. I'll take your word for it that boys fight over girls.
It is a very common occurrence.
This is my life.
I mean, I'm
people.
Sorry that it's cliche, but it's true.
Happily married now, but
it's true.
But so the mayor and the police chief are, like, meanwhile trying to find Harry Warden, who was the original Valentine's Day killer.
He was the mine, right?
Yeah, he was the guy who survived the mine.
Right, right.
So the psych hospital doesn't know where he is, though. They're like, we don't have his name. Like, I don't know. Maybe in our older files. But they don't really, like, know anything. They're really unhelpful. And the police chief then goes to see Mabel at her laundrette. That is what it's called.
The laundrette.
A laundrette.
I like it.
I called a laundromat, but this is where I first saw the sign, and it says laundrette. Mabel's laundrette.
All right, we'll go with it.
And he notices that all the paper hearts on the wall have been, like, turned upside down. And then he, like, leans up against, like, one of the dryers, and right next to him, a dead Mabel just goes and, like, falls right out of the dryer in the wall.
That's not what you want.
So
when you open,
good.
When you open your dryer, you don't want that.
Oh, yeah. And she's, like, all, like, burnt and fucked up from
being
in the dryer.
Oh, yeah. She's all screwed
like,
up.
It's really not good.
No,
it's really not good.
No. That would suck.
So the boys now, like, I think this must be the next day. So that was on the 12th. This is the 13th.
So it happens on Friday. So they brought in Friday the 13th to this movie,
which
I love.
They did bring it. So So it was Thursday the 12th was where everything else happened. Now it's Friday. I mean, now it's Friday the 13th.
So my obsession with Friday the 13th is just, I mean, well, this is an obsession. This is actually just kind of common sense, I guess. But it was just so funny that earlier on in the movie, they're talking about, well, we're going to have the big dance on Saturday the 14th. And I was thinking, oh, that means there's Friday the 13th. This is great.
Yeah, they like got it in there.
Yeah. No,
that
that's a great little.
That can't be an accident.
No, that's a great little homage. I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
So, yeah, so the boys are working in the mine now that it's Friday the 13th. TJ and Axel almost start a fight again, but it gets like broken up immediately. And then we're back with the police chief. He wants to keep it quiet to avoid panicking everyone in town.
Right.
They find another card, or they find a card with another poem, and it tells them to cancel the dance, or like more people will die. Right. And so the mayor is like, "That's it. I'm canceling the dance. Like, it's up. It's over. It's
sorry,
off."
Sorry. What is the name of the town? Isn't it called Valentine or something? What is the name?
Valentine's Bluff, I
yeah,
believe.
Yeah, okay. So
Valentine's
this place
Bluff, I think.
Is like just straight up Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's yeah. all Valentine's Day all the time.
Yeah.
You're which right. apparently, this is another little tidbit, trivia tidbit. Apparently, the producers were looking for a holiday to make a slasher film about.
Well, I was going to get to
and
that
they,
later, but yeah.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Right.
Also,
no,
they
you're
picked,
right. You're right.
They picked Valentine's Day because, like, it hadn't been done yet. And they, did you know this part, that they had a different name for the script?
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want anyone to know what holiday they were using.
Okay, right, sure.
So they called the script, even though they always knew it was going to be called My Bloody Valentine, they called the script The Secret.
Yeah, that's common to do that. So they
yeah, that avoid. Yeah. People definitely do like working
yeah,
names,
yeah.
working
numerous,
titles for scripts.
Sure,
but
that's a common
but
thing.
They did that because they didn't want people to know that they were using Valentine's Day for
right.
their slasher flick.
They usually
they were popular at the time, like so they were like, we're gonna get in on this slasher thing, and have our own holiday.
That's usually what those working scripts are for, to cover something. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the mayor said he was going to cancel the dance. And then we cut to TJ bundling Sarah into his car over her very mild protestations. He's getting her to go out with him.
I think that's a Camaro. That's a nice car. Yeah. Anyway.
It's actually a pretty, I mean, like, all the cars in it look kind of like banged up and like they've been around for a while, but it's a nice car.
But that's an older, if it was
it's
a Camaro,
a cool
which,
car.
Which I think it is, that's an older one that you sadly just don't see many of anymore. But this is 1981. That car was probably only not even 10 years old at the time, though. So anyway.
Yep. Yeah, maybe. So TJ takes Sarah to, I guess it's like a lookout point, like looks out over a lake
lover's,
or something.
Lover's Lane.
A Lover's Lane.
Makeout point.
Yeah, makeout point. I said lookout point, but you're probably more accurate. It's a makeout point.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants her back, but she's upset that he left because he went to like L.A. or something. He went out west.
Oh,
maybe he
right.
went somewhere out west in Canada that I don't know about.
He went to L.A. He went to Edmonton.
Okay, so maybe he went to Edmonton.
I don't know.
Is that out west? I don't know.
Yeah, it's western Canada.
Okay, there you go. I'm not good with geography, especially of other countries.
Come on now. You got to know your geography of America Junior.
I know where County Cork and County Mayo are.
In Ireland? Okay.
In
that's
Ireland.
That's a good thing. I know where, I'm pretty
my
sure
family's
I know where
from County Mayo, so I know where that is.
I'm pretty sure I know those too. Yep.
But yeah, so he wants her back. She's upset that he left and never wrote her. He kisses her and it seems like everything's okay after that. And then that night, Sarah is walking home and the trees rustle ominously. Like you see the shadow, but it literally, I don't know if you noticed this when she's walking by that building and you see the shadow of the trees rustling, it looks like someone's just like shaking them.
Which I'm sure it was because they had,
I'm sure it was, but it really looks like someone's, it
right.
really is obvious. It's like,
which probably became in the editing room, they probably thought, you know what? It's funny. Let's go with it. We like it.
Yeah. They were like, go with it. Yeah. So she runs into the police chief. Like, she has this whole thing where she, like, you see a bright light and you're like, shit, it's the miner, because he has a bright light, you know, he has a headlamp.
Yeah, he has a headlamp.
But it's the police chief with a flashlight.
Right.
I was going to say torch. I'm not British, but I was going to say torch. And it's he has a flashlight.
And it's not 1582, right?
Yeah, and it's not 1582, and I'm not British. No. So I will just call it a flashlight, like a regular American person.
But I tell you what, those torches, I've always wanted to shoot something, a film that has like that scene with like the torches. Like that's so... You know,
with like actual torches.
Yeah, like spooky medieval kind of thing, and it looks so cool on camera too.
Oh yeah, I was talking about because British people actually call flashlights torches.
Oh well, that too. I was just thinking.
So that's what I was thinking of. I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my head. That's but okay. Real torches would be cool too.
Yeah, we like torches.
We do. We like fire, fire,
fire, good.
Fire, fire.
Oh my God, one of the greatest shows.
Oh, such a throwback.
I am a male of the age group of when that show debuted. And let me tell you.
Do you want to tell the youngsters what show that is?
Beavis and Butthead is one of the great shows of all
time. Oh, so good. I also do a pretty good. My name is Cornpolio. Well, I need baby for my butthole.
Everyone believes they do a great Beavis and Butthead impression.
I can only do Beavis.
It is one of the great shows of all time. I love it. But that's a topic again for another day.
For another day. So she runs into the police chief and he just is like, oh yeah, I'm just patrolling, normal patrol. I don't really know why that scene happened. I think it was just to give you a jump scare.
Well, good enough.
But that's cool. It worked.
Right.
At the bar that night though, the bartender is like super sure that Mabel was killed by the miner, even though the police chief and the like mayor told everybody that she had just had a heart attack. He's like, nope, she was killed by the miner.
And like, by the way, if you needed any more proof this was in Canada, look no further than they only drink moose head beer.
Oh my God. And you know, when they're carrying around the decorations for the party earlier on in the movie, and they've got like boxes that they're carrying in, they're all moose head beer boxes.
I think you're right.
They're all Moosehead
beer
boxes.
They like
yeah.
their Moosehead. I wonder if they got like a sponsor for Moosehead to help this movie or something.
It is for sure Canada.
Yeah.
Also, the accents, like the
they definitely say against and at all. Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely Canadian.
We love you, Canada. We're not making fun of you. We're just bringing it to life,
Canada. We love you. We mean no disrespect.
You know what? I have never been, but I actually would love to spend a few weeks. I would love to go drive through Canada.
I have been just to Ontario. Okay.
I want to drive through Western Canada, the Canadian prairies. That's where I want to go.
I want to go all the way out west. I can't remember what it's called now, but there's the island just off the coast. It's supposed to be beautiful.
Well, you go. I mean, you go far enough, you hit Vancouver, which is amazing.
Yeah, I want to go out there.
Right, and then yeah, I mean, I love cold weather. So farther north, it's like I want to go into like Northwest Territory where Yellowknife is. It's like 10, 20 below zero in the winter there. It is like
I don't want to go that far north.
It is no joke. But like Edmonton, I want to go to the prairies. I want to go drive through there. It's beautiful. And like I said, Nova Scotia. And like mm-hmm. Halifax and Labrador, I want to go on the eastern part to see that stuff. See, Canada, we love you. And we want to come visit.
Yes, we love you,
visit.
Canada. I loved Toronto. It was super cool.
Yeah.
Montreal. To see some really neat things there.
People love, you know, old Montreal with the downtown and the underground you can go into. And Quebec,
I'd love to go there too.
Even though Quebec wants to secede as much as they try, it's still beautiful, you know, the walled ancient city of Quebec City and
Canada,
everything.
Canada, tell us, because I know we have at least one Canadian listener. Tell us this.
Hello, Canada. Tell us.
Of our five listeners, I think one of them is a Canadian,
right,
I suspect.
How about that?
So tell us this, Canada. Is Quebec your Texas? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, okay. That's a good analogy.
Texas always wants to secede.
Right.
Quebec wants to secede. Are they in other ways similar? I'm just curious. Let us know.
Perhaps we'll just
shoot us an email.
We'll devote a whole episode to this further down the road.
thescarymovieproject@gmail.com.
We want to talk about seceding from the United States and from Canada,
yes.
And we want to get to the bottom of it.
Yes, and I want to know about Canada in general. And tell us where to go. Oh my gosh, if you're there, tell us cool places to go.
I just told you where to go.
Well, yeah. But I mean, they could tell us like actual, like, yes, this bar is awesome. I live here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. This horror movie was shot here. They could tell us all that cool stuff.
Banff. Is Banff Hotel Banff? Somewhere? Is B-A-N-F, I think? Banff in...
I think it's B-A-N-F-F, isn't it?
Maybe it is. Okay. I think they got a hotel there. It's supposed to be crazy haunted. It's a beautiful place. So there's your haunted place to go.
I love haunted. Oh,
yeah.
I love
so
it.
So that's one place to go. Yeah. So like old Montreal, Toronto, like you said. And yeah, I want to go to Edmonton to see the statue of Wayne Gretzky outside of the Oilers building.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
That would be cool, too.
It would be. Vancouver, I mean, I'll go. It's kind of like not so Canadian, but maybe it's like totally Canadian at the same time. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Canada. I just went to Toronto many years ago. Okay, so where were we?
Hey, that's okay.
The
it's
bartender,
a Canadian movie. We had a good
the
conversation.
The bartender is sure Mabel was killed by the miner. Now, the boys and girls, as I'll call them, the boys and girls, the kids.
But they're not.
Because
well, yeah,
there are a bunch of them. Well, they're not really kids. They're like in their 20s. They're like probably in their early 20s. But there's a whole bunch of them. So
they're young,
I'm just.
I was going to say young adults, but that's not right either, is it?
Yeah, I'm just going to call them the kids. Or the boys. When it's just the boys.
Sure.
They decide to have a Valentine's party in the mine.
Which, you know, you think about, you know, on the list of, you know, just what could possibly go wrong ideas, that's
right.
gotta be at the top.
Yeah, right at the top. Like, don't have a Valentine's Day party.
Let's
at a
have
mine.
A party in a mine. When I was 17, I would have thought that was the greatest idea ever. Yes.
To be fair to them, their original idea is to have it at the mine, and they have it at the lunch.
Right. They want to have it
room,
a regular
building.
Party. Right.
Yeah, so they're not having it like actually in the mines to begin with. To begin with, guys.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get there. So the bartender warns them they shouldn't do it. There's a reason the party was the original dance was canceled. But they won't. They're like, screw it. They're gonna do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're gonna do it no matter what. So then the bartender goes outside, and he goes to the mines. Like, this must be after he closes or something, because it's pretty late. And he goes out, and he goes to the mine, and he rigs, like, a shed.
He is
takes
so...
a pickaxe. He breaks into a shed, and then he rigs a fake miner, like, with the like, coveralls and the
the mask and everything.
The mask headpiece. And like a pickaxe, like it's holding a pickaxe so that it'll pop out when they open the door.
You would think it's the happiest moment of that guy's life.
Oh my God.
He is so happy with what he did.
He
opens it like once and then again and again and again and again. He is thrilled. Like he is just like in heaven with this.
If you have no other reason to watch this movie,
watch
it
scene.
For this
you
moment.
You could probably just YouTube that scene,
like,
I bet.
Watch the movie. Watch the movie.
Yeah,
but
good.
If you like really are like, ugh, I'm not interested in watching this movie, watch just this moment. He keeps opening the door and laughing and closing it and opening it and laughing and closing it and opening it and laughing and closing it. And then the last time he opens it, it's the actual miner, and he laughs and he closes it.
Sure
and
does.
Then he's like, wait a minute. And he goes back to see, and of course, he gets killed.
He sure does. That went from the happiest moment of his life to the worst moment of his life in about 10 seconds.
You know what? He died happy.
I did. You're right. That's a good point.
He died happy.
It's all good.
Yeah. That's not how I want to go, but it may be how he wanted to go. So
could be. You know, you live there long enough, the miner's going to get you.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. So it's now the 14th. Saturday the 14th, because we just had Friday the 13th.
Woo!
Woohoo! And the boys and girls break into the mine's lunch hall with provisions, and they start their party with Moosehead beer, of course.
Obviously.
Because what else? And the police chief now...
I didn't see any poutine.
Okay, I didn't either in this whole movie.
That's more of a French-Canadian kind of thing, though.
I think it is.
So, that's okay.
Is there anything else that's specifically Canadian? You know what they do really well?
Hmm.
Oatmeal. I went to a Denny's there when we were in Toronto, Okay. And they served me up this big bowl of oatmeal. Like, I thought it was just me oatmeal, and I was going to get, like, I don't know, maybe some brown sugar to sprinkle in it if I was lucky. I got brown sugar. I got raisins. I got cranberries. I got nuts, like chopped up nuts.
You ever have chocolate in oatmeal?
I can't remember if they gave me chocolate or not, but I literally had, like, five or six different bananas.
Very cool, yeah.
I had, like, five or six different little bowls of things that I could, like, just put in the... Yeah. In the oatmeal. It was amazing.
That's the way to do
it. Best oatmeal I've ever had in my whole life.
At Denny's, too. How about that?
At Denny's. Like, that's amazing. So it wasn't like we were at like a little like local place or some nice place. Just at freaking Denny's.
Right. You can't go wrong with Denny's, obviously. That's the moral of the story for me.
Moral of the story, can't go wrong with Denny's or Canada.
There you go. So
we love Canada. So they've broken in. They've started their party. Meanwhile, the police chief gets a box of chocolates. Mm. Oh, you guys. Oh, no. He opens it, and he's, like, really nervous. But it's got real chocolates inside, and it's from Mabel.
It's all good.
So cute. So back at the party, Sarah shows up with Axel. That's Axel what Rose. I have to say to that. Yeah, not Axl Rose.
Would the movie have been better if it had Axl Rose in it? Because this was 1981 and Guns N' Roses was not, they were just around the corner from getting popular. They weren't, I don't even know if they were together yet in this.
I don't know why I'm having this conversation.
It's so stupid. This is so stupid.
Because this is what we do on this podcast.
I'm actually trying to be like legit.
Guys, I'm we're thinking here legitimate for the conversations that Axl need Rose. To happen about horror movies, okay?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Conversations like, this be cooler if Axl was played by Axl Rose?
All right, bottom line is, if you had made a movie in the late 80s, early 90s, and you had Axl Rose, and it would have been awesome, because he would have been drunk or stoned or something whole time, and it would have been great. Moving on.
Moving on, as he says.
I don't know any other one else named Axel, so that's the first name I all I can
think
of.
Yeah, that's really all I can think of too. The only Axel I can think
of. And I doubt that's his real name.
I actually take that back. I think one of my family friends named their son Axel.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, I've never met anyone named Axel either.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
It is a cool
name. But I think that's the only person I've ever heard of named Axel.
And you know that's not Axl Rose.
Axl Rose.
You know his name is real name is like Fred or something like that.
Oh, probably. It's probably something
right.
Really dorky that he's like horribly embarrassed
Axl
by.
Axl Rose, if you listen to this, you're welcome to come on our show anytime as well, too.
We love you, Axl.
Just so you know, we do love Guns N' Roses.
The back at the party, one of the boys, and I can't remember which one it is, but he goes back to the kitchen and he gets his face... shoved in a boiling pot of hot dogs by the miner.
Yeah. Gotta love that.
Awful.
Reminiscent of the great death scene in Halloween 2 when he sticks the nurse's face in the hot tub and her face melts.
Also, guys.
So great.
Boiled hot dogs, really?
I mean, you know, it's the simplest food.
Grill that shit.
It's the simplest way to make the simplest food. What can I tell you?
I bet it would be better in a skillet than boiled.
Would it be better grilled? Would it be better cooked on top of a car engine?
Probably. I mean, this is me speaking as a now vegetarian.
You don't even. I was
going to
say you don't even
eat
hot
dogs.
I was going to say you don't even eat hot dogs. Yeah, right.
I grew up on boiled hot dogs, and I'm telling you,
so that's why. That's why.
And
you
I've
don't
had
want.
Them grilled, and they're so much better grilled.
Let me tell you something about hot dogs. If you want to eat
hot
dogs,
tell me something about hot dogs, man.
You got to get the ones. I know, make it seem like it's all serious. You got to get the ones that have the cheese inside of them.
Hmm.
And if you're going to be disgusting and eat a hot dog, it's terrible for you anyway.
That's true.
You might as well have cheese inside of it.
Or corn dogs.
That's a whole other thing. I consider that a different kind of food because it's fried and it's all
I need to find vegetarian corn dogs.
Or you got to just eat a Chicago dog, which is really the way to do it. But
we used to have this place right near us called Great American Hot Dog, and I could get these veggie dogs there that were like,
yeah,
incredible. They had like three different types of veggie dog. Like, they had, like, a kielbasa one, they had an Italian one, and they had, like, a regular one. Oh, so good. Anyways. So
one of my, I'll finish the hot dog portion by just one thing. One of my favorite things to do, one of my favorite days of the year is July 4th.
Okay.
And one of my favorite things is watching the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on July 4th. Now, at some point in my life, I do intend to make it up to the corner of Surf and Stillwell at Coney Island, and I am going to attend the hot dog eating contest. I'm going to watch that joint live.
Are you going to enter?
I think my days of like food eating contests are over. I've been in a couple of chicken wing eating contests. I did not do well. I was in a pizza eating contest once. But
I did not know this about you.
No, I think I ate 5 pieces in like 20 minutes. But those days are over. But I do want to go watch the hot dog eating. I want to be there in person. So.
Yeah, see it.
Anyway.
And because there's like people who like trained like big time for Joey, year-round and stuff.
Joey Jaws Chestnut. He's like the 7-time world record. He ate 74 this year.
Isn't there like some Asian chick who's like really good
Sonia
at it too?
Sonia the Black Widow. She's from Alexandria, Virginia. That's right.
Oh, is she?
She usually wins the women's contest every year. Joey Chestnut this year, I think he did 74 again this year. That's in 10 minutes.
Wow. You really know your hot dogs.
I'm telling you, the hot dog eating contest is the best. So we talked about Canada and hot dogs. So let's see if we
can
stay on track.
Canada and hot dogs, Moosehead beer.
Let's see if we can stay on track.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll get derailed again by something.
Okay.
Let's
see. So back at the police station.
Yeah, Batman, right?
Back at the police station.
Meanwhile, behind the facade of an innocent-looking bookstore.
Meanwhile, back at the police station, there's another box of chocolates outside. It doesn't look good, you guys. It's like a sloppy looking box of chocolates. And there's a note that says, "You didn't stop the party."
You don't.
The police chief picks, but the police chief, here's the thing. He keeps doing this. He just picks up the box.
He just keeps
and carries it in. I'm like, you didn't put gloves on. You're not going to bag that evidence. Yeah. Like, you're just going to pick that shit up and, like,
open it? It's small town USA. It's like, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
I mean, has this guy never even watched a cop show?
Maybe not.
Like, you're a cop.
It doesn't cross his mind, I guess. I don't know.
You are the police chief. How does this not cross your mind?
I don't know. It's a legitimate question, but then it's kind of the answer that it's a movie, is your answer.
It's a movie, but it makes me laugh. Like, every time he does it, I'm like, oh, geez, police chief.
And that's the point. Exactly.
I'm like,
that's
exactly police chief. Oh, I can't remember his name. Chief Stanby or something.
He's not quite Chief Wiggum, but you know.
No. Nobody is quite Chief Wiggum.
No, we love Chief Wiggum.
Nobody's quite him. Back at the party, TJ and Axel, guess what they do? Guys, you'll never guess. They fight over Sarah. They have a fight. She gets mad at both of them. And then they actually like get into a real like fist fight until one of the other guys breaks it up. And Axel gets kicked out of the party. I guess he started it. I didn't really. It seemed to me like they were both really in on it, but he's the one who gets kicked out of the party.
At this point, the fighting story was like, I'm bored of this. I'm ready to move on. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, and Sarah asked TJ to just leave her alone. See, you're bored of it. I'm getting totally caught up in their romantic drama at this point. Who's she going to choose? Yeah, now she's mad at both of them. She's going to choose neither of them.
Not interesting to me.
I'm like, Sarah, choose neither. Stand alone, girl.
It's like
need no man.
It's like an episode of The Bachelor, yeah?
Yes, yeah. I'm getting excited. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I actually never have seen The Bachelor, I don't think, to be honest. Any of it. But maybe I should watch it because I was into their drama.
I was going to say, it sounds like you might be interested in this. Yes.
Yeah, I was into their drama. Now, one couple during the party, John and Sylvia, I got their names this time. They have snuck off to the mine to make out.
To go make babies?
To make babies, yeah. To go make babies.
That's what I like to say.
To go make babies.
Go make babies.
And so they've snuck off into the mine to go make out.
Right.
And
great idea, by the way.
They're still up top though at this point. Right. So they're like in the like getting ready for them to go into the mine area. And John leaves to go get them a couple beers while Sylvia waits for him, which, you know, guys, is never a good idea.
No, not really.
So back at the actual party, two girls are getting hot dogs. And I love this. They find a
boiled
heart.
Boiled
hot dogs. Boiled hot dogs. They're getting hot dogs and they find a heart in the pot.
It's always good.
And they're like, what the? Ah! And then like one guy comes back to get like some more beer and he like opens the fridge door and we see the dead guy in the fridge.
Yeah.
But nobody else sees him. They just shut the door and like
Don't you love, like I was watching a Tales from the Crypt episode the other day. Don't you love body parts inside refrigerators and TV shows and movies? Isn't that great?
If by great you mean gross?
I mean, we love to see it in a movie and a TV show, right? I mean, it's gross, of course.
Okay, what I love about it is
do you have it in your refrigerator?
I love when they don't notice things.
That's what I'm saying.
When it's like, oh, it's just in some inconspicuous place and they didn't happen to look. They're just like looking away while they reach into the fridge and like,
didn't see it.
And I'm like, who's right behind you?
Didn't that happen in Slumber Party Massacre too, when there's a dead person inside the fridge or something? I think.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Disappoint you.
But I know what you're gonna say. Don't worry about it. but no, that's always a great scene in a movie when you open up a fridge and there's a human head inside of it or a body part or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like,
it's a classic, you know?
Yeah, it's totally classic.
So it was in Jeffrey Dahmer's refrigerator. He had lots of that in there.
Yeah.
And that was real. That wasn't a movie.
That's really gross. But yes. Yeah, that he did.
He sure did. Please continue.
Okay. Moving on from Jeffrey Dahmer.
We can talk about Jeffrey Dahmer.
But we
time.
Are not a true crime podcast, so we will let you listen to true crime podcasts for that.
I'd be happy to have an episode about him if you'd like to.
Oh, jeez. So, anyway. Oh, jeez. He's rough. So back in the upper part of the mine, Sylvia is waiting for John, and she gets their clothes, all the jackets like start dropping because they like winch the jackets, like people's jackets up above the heads. And then you like pull a rope and they come down. And so like they all start coming down. She's like running around and I'm like, ah! And the miner is there. So John comes back and he finds her with her head speared by one of the shower spigots. And I have to say, we didn't get a good shot of this. I was disappointed.
Okay. Wanted a different look at that.
Yeah. And I think I know the reason. We'll say it now. I think the reason is that several minutes of the movie were cut by the MPAA.
I heard about this, yeah.
To take it from X to R because they felt like it was way too gory.
That seems silly to me. But then I guess you can get, the awesome uncut Blu-ray or something that has all the footage.
Yeah, but it doesn't have all the footage because they misplaced some or something. But, like, the footage it doesn't have, the director says, like, no, that wasn't, like, gory footage. That was just, like, setup stuff.
Okay.
But apparently, I think this scene is one of the scenes that got cut, where they cut the like actual full on shot of her.
No cutaway straight
with
up,
the shower spigot through the back of her head, and the water coming out of her mouth.
I would have loved to have seen it.
I think it would have been really cool.
Oh, it would have been great.
I mean, I think it probably was really cool. And
but they can have the axe in the forehead in Friday the 13th. I don't get that. Whatever. That seems more violent to me. But whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. What year was Friday the 13th?
1980.
Yeah, so
maybe
they
started
to
cut back on it then.
Yeah, I think maybe they were like too much.
Yeah.
This is a little much. We need to chill out.
Sure. Understandable. Okay.
Back at the party. I'm going to say that
Back at the mine party.
Back at the mine party. Six of the kids who are there, including Sarah and her friend Patty.
I only remember names of characters of movies I really, really, really like.
Sarah and her friend Patty are included in this group of six that are going down to the mine.
Peppermint.
Peppermint. Patty. Patty is the one.
Hey, Chuck.
Patty is the one who, when they're getting ready for the dance, she says, "You should see my dress. It's cut down to here and a slit up to here." I love her. That's why I remember her, because she's that line is so good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
They decide to go down like into the mine, like actually into it.
Going in.
TJ is like, "Guys, women aren't allowed in the mine," so he doesn't go. But the other six go anyways. And so the boys take the girls on a tour of the mine. And one couple, Mike and Harriet, runs off alone.
You know what's going to happen to them.
To make babies.
Make babies.
To make babies.
That's right.
And so they run off alone. Yeah, we all know where they're headed. And it is not the wedding chapel.
They're already underground, so they're in the right place.
Yeah, right. So back at the lunchroom at the actual party, people are starting to find dead people and freak out, right?
Yeah.
Like people are starting to run in and be like, "Oh my God, there's such as dead." And everyone leaves. Let me see if I can do it again. Wait. Oh my God, everyone's dead.
Okay, got it.
So everyone leaves, and TJ and Axel go to the mine to save Sarah.
Yes.
And I guess everyone else who's with her?
Maybe if people are with them, sure.
Like, maybe if
they're there, I might help them out
too. Maybe. We'll see. The four kids in the mine, so Sarah, Patty, and the two guys who didn't sneak off, are like continuing their tour. Mike and Harriet are still off alone, and the rest decide like they want to find them so they can get out of the mine. But they're already being followed by the miner, you guys. And I'm not going to lie, the rest of this, like all the stuff where they're getting like stalked by the miner in the mine, actually, I thought really got pretty tense. Like,
yeah, it was good.
Like,
it
I felt
good.
The tension. I think they built it up nicely.
I think they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Meanwhile, the sheriff is alerted to the killings that people are like freaking out about. So he heads out there. TJ, having... He and Axel have gone into the down. I'm like doing the, not that most of you could see me because you're listening to this, but if you're watching the YouTube,
you're watching it.
The hand things. They're going down into the mine, like an idiot. So they're going down into the mine and they split up and TJ finds Sarah and the rest. And then like they split up again to like find the missing couple.
Yeah.
Hollis, one of the two guys who was down there with Sarah and Patty, finds Mike and Harriet dead, and they are stabbed through like together.
Yeah, how about
with
that?
A rebar pipe?
Isn't that crazy?
So he finds them, and then he gets killed. Like as soon as he finds them.
Yep, I love
the miner kills him, and Hollis stumbles out and dies in front of Sarah, Patty, and the other guy, Howard. See, I finally gotten their names.
Howard.
Took me a little while.
Okay, yep.
And the miner starts walking toward them, and Howard is like, "Everybody run!" And off he goes. Like, he's out like a shot.
Yeah.
And the girls are like, but. He just goes running. So Axel finds the girls then, and they head back to the cars, the little, like, I don't know what they're called, the little mine cars that like go on the track and take you to and from the surface. So they go back to those. They bump into TJ again.
Not trolleys, but something like that. Yeah.
Maybe trolley. Yeah, that makes like a trolley car sort of. Yeah. So they bump back into TJ and they keep going. So it's like Axel, TJ, and the two girls now. And they go up to... walking again.
That's good.
They go up to the little like trolley cars that will take them back to the surface. And they get there and the cars are gone and the control panel is smashed. So they have to climb the ladder to get out. And Patty's freaking out because she's afraid of heights. And someone, I think it must be Howard.
Great move, of course, by the killer. Always got to cut the power or smash some sort of electrical when, you know, you're in that, like Michael Myers always cuts the power to a house when he's around.
Yeah.
So you got to have that. You got to have that going.
So like Axel goes up first and then Patty and then Sarah and TJ are behind her. And like, so Patty's like freaking out and they're like slowly getting up there. Axel's going too fast. They're slowly getting up there. And all of a sudden, like down past them comes flying this dead body. And I think it must be Howard who ran off. Because that's the only other one who was in the mine at this point.
Yeah. Okay,
so I think it has to be him. And then they like end up not going up the ladder because they can't, I don't know, Patty can't handle it. So they go back down and they're start trying to walk out. And Axel like falls in the water at one point and drowns. We see his like headlamp going down into the water. TG tells the girls, like, keep going, just keep going. And he hangs back, and the girls keep walking until Patty gets pickaxed in the stomach. Womp, womp.
Not good.
So now Sarah and TJ are the only ones left, right? Because Axel and Patty just got killed. And they find each other, and they keep going. And now it seems like the whole freaking town just shows up at the mine and goes in. Because, like, right. The police chief called backup. But it's not just policemen there. It's, like, every dude in town is now there. Yeah, they're now there going down into the mine to, like, rescue everybody.
Right.
TJ and Sarah get on the mine cars. And the miner does, too. So he's, like, crawling up behind them. And they're, like, TJ and the miner are fighting. And they're, like, bam, bam, oof, bam. And they all end up, like, getting knocked off the cars. And they're in an abandoned part of the mine.
Yep.
And Sarah finally manages, while they're fighting, to pull the miner's mask off.
Yep.
Guys.
Finds out who it is. Reveal.
Reveal. Big reveal. It's Axel. It's right. Been Axel the whole time.
How about that, right?
Oh, my God. So they tell the mayor and the sheriff that it isn't Harry Warden. And the sheriff knows because he finally found out that Harry Warden died at the psych hospital several years ago.
That's right.
And we see a little flashback.
Right.
Turns out that Axel's dad was one of the two supervisors killed by the miner.
That's right.
The original miner, Harry Warden, on Valentine's Day.
Yep.
So.
He was hiding under the bed and he saw it happen, right?
Yeah, he was hiding under the bed and he saw it happen. Yeah. So there you go. And that's the end. Like, oh, and no. And he runs back. Yeah. He runs back down. They're, like, trying to get him. And he runs back down, like, the mine. He's like, we'll be back.
And hasn't he, like,
Sarah.
And didn't he? Yeah, he's a little song.
Didn't he tear
his arm off because he's stuck in the collapse.
I forgot about that. He gets his arm torn off in the collapse, and he like runs like backs away like
he's
quickly.
Like crazy. Yeah,
he's crazy. He's like, Sarah, be my bloody Valentine.
Yeah, I love that. That was great.
And end of movie.
Yep.
And speaking of the arm, though, so apparently they kept the identity of the film's killer a secret from the whole cast because they wanted it to be a real mystery among all the characters.
I like that.
Among all the actors, they didn't want them to know. Yeah. But Neil Affleck, who played Axel, figured out he was the killer because they had to send him to makeup effects department to be fitted for a fake arm that was going to be ripped off the killer in the film's finale.
I mean, you can't keep.
So he knew. He figured it out. But yeah, that's the movie. And to be honest, I really liked it.
Yeah, no, it is. I like it too. I think it's, the first thing I think of when I see it, I feel like I'm watching the beginning of Deer Hunter because the way the guys are coming out of the mine, they're goofing around, they get in the car and they show up at a bar and it's like, okay, I'm literally watching Deer Hunter here again. Like what is going on? Watching a really great movie compared to a not so great movie, but whatever. That's what I thought of. I feel like I was watching Friday the 13th Part 2, maybe also, because the way they go hang out at that bar and they're telling the story of Jason and they're telling of the miners. It kind of brings those two things together. Okay. It's a slasher film that has all the same old, you know, tropes. That's fine. But this one was a little different, and it seemed like, because it was this, like, I like the backstory that happened in this small town. it's kind of this tight-knit community. It's this working class kind of thing. And it's not kids. Like you said, these people are in their 20s or so.
Yeah.
It's
they're
kind
a little
of,
older.
It's kind of an interesting little story of their slice of life, I guess, and where they are. And it's like this old, it's like a not a ghost story, but it's like this old just tale that kind of haunts the whole town. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
it's a curse
and
or
oh
something.
Yeah, and to me,
I think that's so cool.
To me,
I
think part of the reason I like it so much is because I for a slasher movie, like a kind of fluff, a fluff flash slasher movie, mm-hmm. I want it to be fun.
Yes,
and I had fun with these kids, with these young adults. Like they
Absolutely.
were having fun. I was right. having fun. Like the killings were fun. Like it wasn't like
it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, and it wasn't like so realistic that you're like, ooh, I can't.
Right.
Nah, like this is icky. It was just it was all good fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I
really liked that.
I love the bartender. I loved him telling the story.
Oh, the bartender.
That was
so
that
great.
That was done so well. Like it takes those aspects of like telling a ghost story almost, like a campfire tale. You know, that's kind of what I think of a little bit with that. So I think that part is cool. I like that it just had a little different spin to it, I think.
Yep.
Than most of a slasher. And I think a lot of people enjoy that, and it's kind of become a cult thing. I think people like it now. Yeah. No, I definitely enjoyed it. The ending is kind of twist story, sort of, but it's fine. I don't dislike it, but I think it does a good job. I have no real desire to see this 2009 3D. I'm probably not going to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know that I have any desire to see the new one, but I would totally like, maybe not immediately, but like in a few years, I'd probably watch this one again.
Yeah, this is the second time that I've seen it.
Like, I would watch it again. It's fun. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that I give props to the crew for shooting a movie in a mine. I can't imagine that's...
Yeah, that's...
You would think that would be easier because it's self-contained and you can control the environment. But I've never been in a mine, but I've been in the Shanghai tunnels in Portland.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, maybe similar. It's underground. It's dark. It's dirty. I can't imagine that that's an easy
place. I feel like it would be a real bitch to light.
Right.
Like
I was
you'd have... And you'd have so many shadows thrown everywhere. Like... You'd have to like
it's claustrophobic, it's
and just, then if you have to use those special lights,
exactly. So, I give them credit for that. Could have gone really wrong.
Yeah,
and they seem to have done a pretty good job with it. So,
yeah,
I think they did. Props for that. That's
yeah,
that was well done.
And I'll say, you know who agrees with me about this movie?
I don't know.
Quentin Tarantino.
What did he say? He likes it?
He said it was his all-time favorite slasher film.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
I love his work. It's amazing, but I would not have expected him to say that. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
great.
I would have never even thought of it, but apparently that's what he said.
I love his work,
so
okay.
One more reason for us to like it. Yeah, I like it. And when I saw that he liked it, I was like, ha, I am.
I knew there was a reason.
Justified in my liking.
Right. Now it all makes
validated.
Sense.
Validated.
What I was going to say also was that working title, Valentine's Day. This is the era of all these slashers that everything needed to be a movie about a holiday.
Yes.
You know? Halloween, Friday the 13th, April
yes.
Fool's Day, prom night.
Yes.
My Bloody Valentine, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Mm-hmm.
So Eli Roth is like one of my heroes, and he made a trailer for a movie called Thanksgiving. And it's supposed to be, it's a phony trailer for a horror film set on Thanksgiving. Because of all these ones we have, we've got all these movies, we don't have a Thanksgiving horror film.
Wait, am I making this up? Isn't there a Thanksgiving?
If there is, I've never heard of it. But that sounds like a great title. And if it's not, you should probably make it.
Yeah, no, there is a movie.
Is there? Okay.
There's 2008, Thanksgiving.
Oh, recent. No kidding. Okay.
There are apparently... At least three of them now.
Okay, wow. And who's in them? Anyone?
Let me see. Written by Brad Schultz, directed by Jordan. Where'd it go? Jordan Downey?
Oh. Okay,
I don't know if anyone's in them.
I just learned something new right there, but if you get a chance.
I don't recognize any of the names of who's in them. Oh, wait, except Chuck Lamb.
Definitely go watch Eli Roth's trailer for Thanksgiving. But Yeah. Okay. So Thanksgiving, great title. But besides that, yeah, no one ever made a good one for Thanksgiving, though. So, you know, but yeah, April Fool's Day. They make a Mother's Day one, I think. But
there
yeah.
is one called Mother's Day. Yeah.
So they made a horror film for every freaking holiday you could possibly. Graduation mm-hmm. Day, I think, right? Anyway.
Well, it was a little later, but even Leprechaun.
Oh, Leprechaun. Wow. I have a lot to say about that movie. That's
that was later, though.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah, and we'll be watching that pretty soon, guys.
I have plenty to say about that.
A little holiday is coming up in a couple episodes that we will be watching that for.
That is, there's a lot to discuss with that movie, that's for sure. Anyway, yeah, that was neat. So they have lots of, you know, they made a movie for, I mean, every freaking random holiday you could possibly think of. And
these guys managed to find one that hadn't been done yet, and they did it well.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, no. It wasn't bad.
They did it well. I mean,
good job.
I'll say there are a lot of horror movies, like low budget horror movies like this, I think is pretty low budget.
It's not too bad.
That look like, well, no, I'm saying like as in literally had a fairly low budget, I think.
Oh, yeah. A couple million probably.
There are some low budget horror movies that look like they didn't necessarily know how to make a movie.
Right.
This was done. They knew properly. How to make a movie.
Yeah. No, that was done like, properly. The lighting was right. The shots were right. Yeah, they did all that right. So.
Yeah, and it was pretty well written. I mean, some of the acting was a little rough, but like
you know
the movie had some good lines.
How much
it was well written. Like
you know you know the acting you're getting in these movies. You're getting drunken teenagers that have sex and we don't need to know their story, their backstory. It's not about it's not character driven. It's just not.
Yeah. And well, I mean, and the acting wasn't like awful. It just wasn't like,
no, it wasn't terrible.
Great.
Right.
But the writing was pretty good.
It wasn't like Friday the 13th,
they knew how to make movies
acting, which was, you know, it's not terrible like that. So yeah, no, well done. I mean, I thought it was, I definitely like it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, guys. I think we would say watch this one. Yes. Oh, I almost forgot. Yes. Who would you be in this movie?
Man, I don't even know.
Tell you who I would be.
I might have been one of those rowdy dudes like 15, 20 years ago, not now. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd probably be, I think I probably was one of those dudes where I would just...
Probably.
You wanted to go chase girls and drink beer. I mean, that's when I was 20 years old, that's about all I wanted to do.
Okay, that works. Who you would have been 20 years ago is
but
that works.
When I'm like 60 or 65, I want to be the guy at the bar getting angry and telling that story.
I was going to say that's the guy I would have been.
I'd like
even
to do that.
Even 20 years ago, I probably would have been that guy. The guy like, don't go out there.
Right.
You
right.
don't know the story about
that's right.
that. Oh my God, you guys.
That would
You're
be
all going to die.
Yeah.
That would be me.
That would be fun.
All my life, I would be the bartender.
That's funny.
Whew. Well, that was a fun one. And we got on a lot of different crazy topics that I would not have expected us to get on with this movie.
Okay. That's okay.
That is how we do. So, guys, I think we're about to sign off. So if you want to, please rate and review us on iTunes, wherever you're listening. We would love it if you could do that because then more people can find us. It really makes a difference. Even if you just go click that 5 stars, guys, click 5 stars. Obviously. Don't click anything else.
Make sure to send boiled hot dog recipes to Tara.
Gross. I think I'd rather have your like boiled heart recipes. Jesus.
Probably not. Hey, you know what? You feed them to your dogs. That's all good. Mm. They would devour those.
I wouldn't want to watch, though. Ugh.
Yeah, but they would.
I'd have to give them to them and, like, run away. And then I would come back and the whole kitchen would look like a freaking murder palace.
Probably.
So send us your movie suggestions. Send us your thoughts on the movies we've watched. Let us know your favorite places to go in wherever Canada, because we're looking to visit different parts of Canada at some point once we're allowed to travel again.
Canada.
And send all of that to us at... thescarymovieproject@gmail.com. And you can also now follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We are at The Scary Movie Project. Peace out.
Good night, Canada.
The Scary Movie Project podcast
is produced by Tara Garwood and Matt Lulich. Learn more at thescarymovieproject.com.
Stay connected with The Scary Movie Project. Visit our website, thescarymovieproject.com, at The Scary Movie Project on Instagram and Facebook, and email us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com.